Ramsey TV.
The VC 19er hoax is a way and was a way to destroy small businesses and to wreck the economy of the United States. And your first question would likely be, why would any United States entity, speaking just now of my country where I'm broadcasting from, this applies to many, many other countries, why would any entity of the U.S. want to destroy the U.S. economy? Wouldn't that ruin lives? Wouldn't that wreck people's hopes and dreams? In fact, the American dream? Yes, but it was done on purpose. It was done on purpose in order to better centralize power in a motion toward the ultimate centralization, which is a one world government. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. I'm happy to be with you here on MZTV, but I mean, I'm not happy to be giving you this news. But I don't want you to be over-concerned, over-worried about it. I'm just reporting here how it is. I'm not overly concerned about it. I mean, I hate watching it. It's sick to watch it. It's heartbreaking to watch it. But I'm happy about it in another way, and that I know this is the beginning of the end, and it means that our snatching away is soon. And that very soon, God's going to wreck the government and the politics of this earth and bring in his own government and politics. See, government, I should say religion and politics. Religion and politics is not the problem. The problem is bad religion and bad politics. God has his own religion and politics. He has his own temple, religion, and his own throne, politics. His own religion is the priesthood of Jesus Christ on the earth. With Israel as the priesthood nation, his politics is a benign dictatorship where Jesus Christ is the head of the earth, but he's benign, he's benevolent, he's loving, and he metes out justice properly and swiftly, and nobody F's with it because he means business. So I'm not even sure I should say this word because I don't want to be flagged, but I'm going to have to come up with another word for lock, let a couple beats go by, downs, or shut, let a couple beats go by, downs. I will call it the stifling of free enterprise. That's what I'm calling the lockdowns of last year. That's too complicated, the stifling of free enterprise. Business crusher. Yeah, that's more picturesque, more colorful. Business crushers. These business crushing, but now that's a noun. I think I do want a noun. I think I'm going to have to think of something different. The screwing. The stay-home BS, the stay-home regulations, the law of stay-home, I'm just going to call it stay-home. The stay-home has destroyed businesses, all in the interest of making sure that this thingy doesn't spread and kill everybody. You're going to need to do your part. You're going to need to stay home. But isn't it weird? Well, I'm going to tell you how it furthers centralized government in a minute. But isn't it strange how the stay-homing was worse, more severe in the blue states, that is the Democrat states, worse. But in the red states in the United States, that is the Republican states, strange, the governors of these states tended to, not universally, but tended to want to end the stay-homing and bring the economy back. Why is it that only the states on the coasts, not only, but mainly, California, Oregon, Washington, New York, Virginia, Massachusetts, Hawaii. Why was it that these states really wanted people to stay home bad, and they really made really hard to follow stupid rules that limited people gathering? You couldn't even get together, as you know, to attend a wedding or to attend a funeral. I'm going to tell you later in this series. This series won't be too much longer. Calm down now. I can prove this has nothing to do with health. The people running this thing don't give a damn about anyone's health. They don't give a damn. And if anybody in my audience thinks that the stay-homing or the regulations thereof or the hurry and get the VC, if anybody still thinks that has anything to do with health, wake up. The powers that want to run the world are using people's ignorance. They're using it as a fulcrum, as a lever to gain power. And they will step on anybody. They don't give a damn if your business goes out. They don't give a damn if you ever get back to work. They don't give a damn if you're being forced to quit your job because you won't take the VC. All they care about is getting power. I'm telling you, it is a satanic desire to rule. And do you know what has happened with the large industries since the stay-homer thing started? They've gotten bigger. Walmart, it was supposedly an essential business. We can't put Walmart out of business. Amazon. We can't put Amazon out of business. They get to go to work. They're essential workers. But mom and pop at Joe's Diner or Sal and Eddie's hardware shop or the Italian furniture store in New York that has been on 32nd Street since the early 1900s, not so concerned. You're not essential. These businesses died. Why is this good for the one worlders? Because thousands and thousands of thousands of independent businesses represent a decentralized, free enterprise that can't be controlled, can't be governed to. The more of them there are, you can't round them up. You can't round them up. Does that phrase sound bad, round up? What did Hitler do to the Jews? Rounded them up. What are the world leaders now doing to the inhabitants of Earth? Rounding them up. It's much easier to round them up if you put them in one place. Well, this is what happened because of the stay-at-homing, is that small businesses, the people that put their money into mom-and-pop stores, ended up having to put their money into Amazon or Walmart, and the bigger got bigger. The big got bigger, and the bigger got biggest. Broke up the small hundreds and millions of pieces, hundreds of millions of small business owners by design. It was wrecked by design. It's not just a tragic consequence of a necessary protocol. No, it is a determined consequence of a predetermined protocol, of a planned protocol that was really thought of many years ago, and now the element is in place, the dreaded thingy that we all must fight against. It's all fake. All fake. And so it's easy to centralize a few big businesses, then 100 million small ones. So the government takes over business, otherwise known as fascism, That leads to communism, where the government ends up owning the businesses, no longer lets them be run by individual companies or entrepreneurish companies. It's an evil thing, but it happened on purpose. And the weird thing is, it happened really badly, really horribly in certain states. Weird. Certain places in the United States where the elites gather. Because don't you know, the smartest people in the world are in Silicon Valley. Smartest people in the world are in Seattle. They're in Portland, Oregon. They're in LA. They're in San Francisco. They're in New York City. They're in Washington, D.C. No, these are the people with the levers. These are the people controlling everything. They're not the smartest. In fact, there's a scripture that says God puts the meanest people in power. God puts the least qualified in power. I'll put that verse down here. It's from Daniel. Now, here are some states in the United States that are all Democratic states. Again, the Democratic Party is the name of a political party here in the U.S. It is generally the gathering place of people with a particular ideology. And the particular ideology generally of people who gather under the umbrella called the Democrat Party is central government, bigger government, a few people controlling a lot of people instead of the lot of people controlling themselves. Instead of hundreds of thousands of little local governments and local businesses, no, because again, there's too many of them. We can't control them. We can't round them up. That's an ideology. It was the same ideology followed by Mao, followed by Hitler, followed by Castro, followed by Maduro, followed by Kim Jong-un. These little mental midgets who think they're smart, convincing their people by sheer might, threats. This is about threats. Oh, threats. Illinois is another state. For some reason, that's in the middle of the country. How did that happen? An anomaly, but a sick one. Threats. I thought of that because Chicago-style politics, have you ever heard of that? It's a politics of threats. It's a politics of, well, we're going to break your arm if you don't do what we want. We're going to kill your family if you don't do what we want. We're going to destroy your career. We're going to bear false witness against you unless you do what we want. That's how these people operate. That's how they operate. Strong arm. And we see some of the governors in some of the states doing this. There's a governor in Michigan. I know her name. I'm just not going to say it. There's a governor in New Jersey. I know his name. I'm just not going to say it. I have it written down here. There's a governor in California. Thank God the people are rebelling against him. These are the people that got infected by power. And they didn't want to let it go. They liked the idea that they controlled whether or not people could go to restaurants. They liked the idea that they controlled whether people could open up their gyms, or whether people could go to gyms. I'll decide whether you go to the gym. Who are you? A self-appointed central government person. A self-appointed totalitarian person. A self-appointed commie. Hawaii, Virginia, California, New Jersey, Michigan, Illinois. I would not want to be in any of these states. I happen to be in a state, Florida, where we have a sensible, freedom-loving governor. I'm not going to say his name either. Oh, and there are some states that have already instituted the so-called passports, which I will call the VCPP. VC, you know what that stands for? Pee-pee. Yeah, I know. But in my case, it stands for pass port. The VCPP is already instituted in Democrat states, because that's where the ideology of world domination lives, in whatever form it takes, the early form, socialism, or the latter form, communism. Same idea. Take advantage of a world crisis, pretend to be the only savior from the crisis, convince the people to give you power, and then once they give you a little power, take it all. And, of course, when you're in power, we've seen many instances of this over the history of CB19er. The people who make the rules, they're not subject to their own rules. We've seen this. The sick Speaker of the House, you see. They don't want walls around our country, but they have walls around their house. They don't want the citizens to have boom boom, but they have boom boom. They don't want the police to exist anymore, yet they have bodyguards with boom boom. What is going on? It's so tired. It's so cliched. It's the same syndrome over and over again through world history. People want to make rules for other people because they think they're smarter. And then once they trick people into giving them power, they take all the power. They say, sorry, suckers. And they end up destroying the people they promised to help because it builds them up. And of course, they put them under strict, strict rules to keep them from rising up, keep them from mutinizing, and they themselves are immune to all the rules they make for the people because the rules they make for the people are strict and horrible and terrible and freedom-limiting. So they're not going to be subject to it. And we've seen this phenomenon already taking place with the governors of California, the governor of Michigan, the Speaker of the House, the governor of Georgia, Virginia. We've seen it happening. This is what they do. This is what they do. It should be a clue when you see what they do to rise up and stop it. Here's the question. Are people going to rise up and stop it? The answer is, in my humble opinion, yes. Is that going to be a good thing? Temporarily, yes. Long term, it's going to be a bigger beast than the beast we're now seeing. I'm going to get into that as this series unfolds. I have a great quote to you from a great man, Benjamin Franklin, smart guy. Flew kites in thunderstorms with metal keys attached to them. He said this, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Some people say, well, the context in which the kite guy said that is different than the context today. Maybe so, but not much. The principle is, if you give up any liberty to people who promise to make you safe from a crisis that is probably of their invention, don't do it. Because you see, these people invent problems. Then they change their clothes, come over here, and they say, we can cure the problem. We can help you overcome the problem. What problem? The problem that they started. How clever is that? They claim to have the answer to the problem that they started. If they would just leave everybody alone. But these people can't leave other people alone. They can't. I don't know why. They're obsessed with people needing them. They're obsessed with holding the purse strings of the treasury, the purse strings of power, the purse strings of freedom itself. They like the people have to come up to them and beg, please, can we fly to see my dead grandmother, please? Well, we'll consider your request. No one should have to make that request. But the people who have given up their power. Oh, 9/11, same thing. People used that to give up their freedom in order to be safe. Now they had all these regulations of how they could fly. Just telling you, this is the general pattern. And it's happening here. I have one more thing to say, then I'll stop for today. Talked about the hypocrisy of the leaders not being a subject. Do you think that any of the people that tried to sell the toasty planet syndrome, do you think that any of them believed it? No. No, none of the people at the top believed it. Maybe the second tier believed it. Could be, probably. I don't know. Some people. Definitely the dummies down here believed it. I can save the world by putting my thermostat down 3 degrees. I can save the world by buying a Prius. Even though when I plug my Prius in, it uses electricity, which only comes from coal-fired plants. Uh-oh. I guarantee you that when everything is known, when Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to be seen that everything we've done to fix the, quote, problem of carbon, to fix the problem of people cutting down nice trees, everything we've done has ended up costing more and killing more things. In other words, the cure will be seen to be way worse than the, quote, disease ever was. The guy who started the, or pushed, promoted the Toasty Planet Syndrome, TPS, you know who he is, his name rhymes with Igor. I'll call him Igor. But that guy doesn't care about how much carbon he uses. He has a big jet that flies around everywhere, spits carbon in the air like a freaking volcano. Does he care? No, because he must get certain places because he's the president of carbon. He's the president. And he can have many, many homes that use lots of energy. But that's okay. That's okay. He must do it because he's the president of carbon. He invented carbon. He's the god of carbon. He's the king of carbon. He's the prince of carbon. He's the Führer of fossil fuels. He'll tell you what you can do and what you can't do. And the same people who are saying that the ocean levels will rise and the coastal cities will be flooded and there will be a great disaster unless you quit buying big cars, unless you give your freedom to us so that we can tell you what to do. Now, these same people who say that the ocean levels will rise to catastrophic levels, they're buying all their houses. You remember the first black man that was elected president with the Dumbo ears? He has a house on Martha's Vineyard. Within stone's throw of, the Atlantic Ocean. But isn't that the ocean is going to rise and destroy? No. They know it's all false because they're all building houses on the coasts where living is ideal. In Miami. New York. Hawaii. California coast, Malibu. They're all building houses because they know it's a farce. They know it's fake. They're never going to be subject to the rules they make. It's all phony. It's all fake. They will not be subject to the rules they make. I know that many of you are facing really difficult situation in that your employers are already or maybe threatening to terminate anyone who does not take the VC. And I've been asked by several people, Martin, what should we do? I'm glad you asked. First of all, I know that I don't know how to smoke. That's okay. People have told me I smoke like an 18-year-old girl. That's okay. I didn't start doing it, you know, as a hobby till about 2 years ago. So that's okay. Just don't worry about that. Now, except I'm worried about it because I always try to look cool, but this is, anyway. No, this is a serious situation and people are wondering if Romans 13:1 applies. Be subject to the superior authorities. Unless it's the law of the land. I mean, the superior authorities, I believe, some people may argue with me, if you can believe that, but the superior authorities are regularly constituted government, national government authorities. I may have to include state authorities there. But it is definitely not your employer. Your employer can go through with it. Well, for one thing, I would not take the VC. Please, do not take it. It's untested, it's dangerous, and you could have some serious long-term health issues in the future. Your employer may follow through, but it's unconstitutional. And as I speak, we are still under the Constitution. Technically. I mean, if your mother-in-law is living at your house and your mother-in-law wants you to sleep in the doghouse, the literal doghouse, should you be subject to her because of Romans 13:1? No. And neither would you have to be subject to your employer in a situation that involves your personal body. It is totally unlawful for any employer to require that. And you have recourse if it happens. I just saw a video on that recently. I'm not going to link you to it because I don't want to be flagged. I can't risk losing all my spiritual material because of a political statement, obviously, or a linked article. That's not what I want to do. That's not what you want me to do. I will say this. If you do lose your job, God forbid, if you do lose your job because you refuse to take the VC, I want you to know this, that God will honor you for it. God will provide for you. It may be an opportunity for you to do something you've always wanted to do that includes income. I found in my life, when I quit a lucrative job in 1993 at the U.S. Postal Service with a wife and three children, because of my conviction that I needed to do this job and that people needed to hear the evangel of the grace of God, and if not me, who? That was my attitude. It was scary, but God honored it. And the way I survived was scaled down. I could tell you stories. Scaled way down. Hung our clothes on the clothesline. Made vast pots of oatmeal for the kids every morning. It was actually nice to escape the rat race and live close to the bone. Live simply. Work together as a family. Don't count that out as an option. I'm just saying God will honor you for taking care of the vessel that He gave you. Now, I'm going to read an article, short piece. The timing of this was so great because a fellow member of the body of Christ sent me this article just 10 minutes ago. And this little piece, it's not an article, it's a paragraph. This is so good that I want to read it to you and to give you some encouragement and some optimism. I have a lot of optimism to give you in this series. I was planning on just doing today and tomorrow, but I think I'm going to add two more shows on this theme, the end of times, because I have some encouraging things to tell you. I think things are going to change dramatically for the better, and I will tell you why And I will also tell you the person that I think will die. And somebody made a comment in the YouTube saying, I know who you're talking about. You're talking about the exhumed body. You're talking about the fake president in the oval-shaped work area. Nope, not talking about him. Not talking about him. Mm-hmm. Now, intrigued, eh? Okay, good. So I'm going to read the article, but I can't read it because it's on my phone. And I can't read it on my phone while I'm recording on my phone. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to record myself reading it after I cut off of this show, of this little segment. But I'm going to stay on the camera and try to look as cool as I possibly can while I'm reading this after I sign off from this video segment. This is a very complicated and tricky production technique. So I don't want you to try anything like this at home, but I'm going to perform it right now. From a man named Dustin Penner. I'm in senior position at a Fortune 500 company, and I can tell you that leadership is highly, highly stressed about the number of people refusing mandatory VCs. They are currently betting that employees will blink before management. But if the un-VC'd employees stand firm in their convictions, this company will be effed. If the company follows through on its threats and fires all un-VC'd employees, the company will be decimated and will not be able to function. Don't give up. Don't give in. There are more of us than there are of them. Peace out.